to God's word in worship. Listening to God's word in worship. The word of God is the foundation of our faith. It underpins our faith. And a little bit later on, we're going to be looking at that in more detail. But I want to start off at this stage. We'd have bullet points coming in. So I just... But yeah, I want to start off with what God laid in my heart towards the back end of the week is the word listening. Because that's the name of the talk, listening to God's word in worship. It sounds such a simple thing, but actually there is a skill to listening. And listening really is the ability to receive, to accurately receive messages and interpret them in the communication process. And you'll hear me saying that quite a bit throughout the talk. I'll say it again. Listening is the ability to accurately receive messages and interpret them throughout the communication process. And effective communication, a large part of that is listening. Obviously, you've got body language and various different other things, but actually a key part of it is listening. And I don't know about you, but it's something which I struggle with. Definitely, something which I struggle with. If I had a pound for every time, I always bring Clet into this, I don't know why, but if I had a pound for every time Clet said to me, "You're just not listening, you're not listening to me." You know, we have this going backwards and forwards in our house, and this has gone on over the years. And actually throughout my life, whether it be at school, parents, "You're not listening." Class, "Listen up, listen up." Parents, "Come on, son, you need to listen to me." So it's just something which has proven to be quite difficult. And in fact, the irony of this is, for the last 27 years I've been in sales. 27 years, okay? A key part of selling is listening. Good listening skills. You listen to what the prospect has to say, identify their needs, and then you come forward with a solution. Actually, there's a saying, we have two ears, one mouth. So listening is a key part in the communication process. And I've got to be honest, I'm pretty lousy at it. It's something which I have to continue to be nagged about, and something which I need to discipline myself and train myself in. And actually, we can take it a step further. And I want you to start thinking about your own listening ability. Because if we look at the Bible, okay, the fall came about because Adam and Eve were not listening. And I mean active listening. I mean listening, receiving the message, and correctly interpreting it. Because if they did, I don't think we'll be where we are today. Okay, and this continues, doesn't it? So it continued with the Israelites, yeah, in the wilderness. Okay, we saw that most of them, including Moses himself, didn't make it to the promised land. Okay, and it goes on. So listening is really, for me, is key, especially if we're going to address this subject, listening to God's word in worship. And you've got active listening. And active listening means, and as the name suggests, it means actively listening. It means focusing on what the speaker's saying. I'm hoping that you don't focus on what I'm saying today, otherwise... So yes, so it does. It means basically focusing on what the speaker's saying. So we're not just passively hearing, but we're actively listening. And I don't know about you, a common problem with effective communication, a common problem is, I mean, how many times have you been in a conversation and you're already starting to formulate what you're going to say before the person finishes? How many times? It happens, doesn't it? It is a common problem, which means we're not fully listening. We're not giving that person our full attention. And so... for me, that was a key part with this theme which was given to me, listening, the ability to listen. And it's something which I just want to put out there, that it actually is a skill, and it's something which needs to be developed. And you know, especially when it comes to listening to the word of God. Okay? So that was the first point, and that would have been the first bullet point, but that's not there, so we'll carry on. The second point is, how does God reveal his word? Okay, now we start to get to the meat. How does God actually reveal his word? Well, ultimately, it's through Jesus. This is who God reveals his word through. It's through Jesus. Jesus said, "Me and my Father are one." Okay? Paul says in Philippians 2:6 that Jesus is the very nature of God. And Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." Okay, so if we want to hear God and see him in action, guess what? We turn to Jesus. We hear God and we see God in action through Jesus. And actually, the Bible takes it a stage further. And this is a scripture which we're going to read together, but I will just read it out. Jesus is the literal word of God. He's the literal word of God. It means when God speaks, Jesus comes out. And through Jesus, God created all things. He's the literal word of God. And we read this in a great Bible passage, which is John 1, 1 to 5. The word became flesh. So I will read it. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. The darkness has not overcome the light. Jesus is the literal word of God. He's the literal word of God. So you want to see God, you want to hear God, you turn to Jesus. And that's a fantastic passage. Everything, all things were made through him. And actually, Colossians takes it a stage further. It says, all things were made through him, by him, in him, all things hold together. So when we want to listen to God's word in worship, really what we want to be doing is we want to be listening to Jesus. And what does Jesus have to say? And what does he have to say? And what did he have to do? The Bible is a vehicle that God uses to reveal Jesus to us. That's really what the Bible is. And so you've got the Old Testament, where you've got lots of eyewitnesses accounts of who have seen God, and obviously many carried the message and delivered to God's people. But ultimately, after the fall, the Old Testament was all leading up to, and it was all about the Savior. It was all about the Word of God. Okay, and then in the New Testament, what we actually see is we see the fulfillment of this promise coming to pass. So we actually see the Savior, the Word becoming flesh, dwelling amongst mankind. Okay, and we see this becoming a reality. So Jesus is the Word, and he's the promise which was fulfilled in the New Testament. The prophets, the apostles, the disciples, all of us, really our job, okay, is to listen to the word, i.e. listen to Jesus, accept him, obey him, okay? And just like the apostles, and many of us are doing anyway, and the prophets did, we then go forth and we point everyone, we point mankind, we point creation to Jesus, because he is the word. If you want to know God, if you want to hear God, we say, listen to Jesus. What did the Bible have to say about the character of Jesus Christ? And we've just looked at a few passages. The Holy Spirit is obviously paramount in this whole process. So it's the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and it's... Oh, is this coming on now? There we go, two mic. Hello? I always thought this was... Let's come on again. What's going on? Holy Spirit is. That's the role which he's fulfilling. Don't just take this off. Can you just bear with me for 2 seconds? There you go. Never again. Right. PowerPoints, mics, whatever next.
Hello?
All right, okay. Yes, so the Holy Spirit. So, the question's often asked, who wrote the Bible? Now, we know it's 40 characters wrote the Bible, but actually the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit who has inspired the Bible to be written, okay? It's the Holy Spirit within us revealing the Word of God to us, and it's the Holy Spirit who's basically changing us into the likeness of God's very own Son. How should we approach God's word in worship? Bullet point number 3. The first thing which comes to mind, and this is something which I really do want as a couple, now we're going to start, I really want you to listen to this, is we need to adopt the right attitude. That's the first point, adopting the right attitude. Here's a statement. True worship begins with a deep respect or reverence for God, a frame of heart and attitude. This must be fixed in our mind before we go any further. An act of worship is an act proceeding from or the result of that attitude. And I can tell you, I don't know about you, but sometimes we can become quite blasé when it comes to God. We're very casual. Okay? And I know God is intimate, he wants friendship and everything else, but it's very easy for us to, you know, not look at God in the right perspective. And that's just what I found. Okay? And it's funny because, again, I'll bring my darling wife Colette into this discussion. Yeah, when I first met Colette, I made every effort. You know, I made sure I looked good. I made sure I smelt good. I even kind of rehearsed some of the things, which, what am I going to tell her? What am I going to reveal about her on our first date? We sat down. There was eye contact. I was actively listening, you know. I was receiving the messages, making sure that I correctly interpreted them. Why? Because I wanted to win her over. That's the bottom line. So my attitude was, it was good. Hence, 18 years, 4 children later. Yeah, it was good. It worked. But I had a positive attitude. And it's the same, you know, I'm not really a royalist like some people we know. Okay? All right, I'm not. But I have no problems with the Queen. I have no problems with the Queen. But I can tell you this now. If I were to meet the Queen, okay, I know that I would be, my attitude would be right. I'll be checking myself. I'll be making sure we'll talk, or make sure you don't say this. What are you going to say? And it'll just be this natural reverence for her, just because of her position in society. And I would actually challenge anybody, even if you think that wouldn't be your character, just because of who she is, I think it would draw that out within us. And our attitude really determines our behavior, which impacts on the outcome. And so for me, really, when I was thinking this through, the bare minimum I need to, in terms of attitude, I need to be able to adopt when it comes to God, approaching God, is equal to the attitude of meeting Colette or meeting the Queen. The bare minimum. But we just become so casual, so complacent. And I think there's something which needs to be looked at there in that process. This is for me personally. So, because when you think about it, you know, we're talking about, and if you look at some of the images and some of the pictures and some of the descriptions of God in the Old and the New Testament, he's an awesome God. He's a consuming God. You know, and I've been studying the book of Revelation, and wowee, some of those pictures which I'm seeing of this God. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I think there is an element where it's healthy to have a fear, but certainly a reverence and a respect for him. You know, because the very fact that I'm standing here, clothed, fed, watered, and I'm sustained, and the fact that all of us are here, and creation is being sustained, is because of this same God. So the first thing, one of the points which came to mind for this is, I think, you know, we do need to just examine our attitudes when it comes to approaching the throne of God. I'll throw that out there. In addition to attitude, we then need to look at devotion. And how much are we devoted to the Word of God? How much are we devoted to Jesus? You know, the early church in the book of Acts is often being sort of highlighted as the model church. You know, and they were an amazing church. Great things happened through this early church in the book of Acts. You know, in Acts 2:42 states, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they devoted themselves to receiving the message of Jesus. There was a devotion there. And to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So devotion in this context means dedication to the service and worship of a deity. This church, the early book, church in the book of Acts, they were dedicated. They gave their all. They looked at Christ and had him right at the center of everything, of the church. So really, I mean, I think there's a wisdom there which we can actually learn from. And I think dedication and devotion to the Word of God plays a massive part in our growth, you know, and us as a church and being effective and being an effective witness. So the key thing for me, really, is when we're hearing a teaching or we're doing our daily devotion, you know, or we're doing our Bible study, we need to devote ourselves to hearing what God has to say through his Son, Jesus, through the Word. Now we come to another point, listening to God's Word at church. Now, some of you may have heard me say this before, okay, but I used to think to myself when I first, because I didn't grow up in a Christian home, what was church all about? really, what was it about? I really struggled with it. Coming to the same building, with the same set of people, often singing the same songs. And I couldn't get my head around it. I really struggled with it. I think that was, now I look back, it was a lot to do with my attitude. My attitude was all wrong. And I've heard some people say before, okay, yes, so I basically, sorry, I just went forward there, but when I first came to Frampton Park, the thing which really struck me about this church, yes, it was about the hospitality. Yes, it was about the diversity. But one of the main things which really attracted me to this church was the Word of God. And many of us, I think everyone here knows David. And when I engaged in discussions with David, you know, I saw his enthusiasm, I saw his devotion, I saw his understanding of the Word, and he was just great at engaging people in discussion and sharing the Word of God and getting you into a place where you could understand it. And that, to me, was very, very attractive. You know, if it wasn't for the way in which the Word was taught when I first started to come in, and it's continued in that way, I don't think I'd be here today. Because it's the Word of God which underpins everything, to be totally honest. So when we come to church, if you think about the process, we come here, we listen to songs, we partake in the singing of songs, we get involved in prayer, etc. But ultimately, what all of that is leading to is for us to be prepared to listen to the Word of God in the teaching. That's what it all leads to. And so we receive this Word, which is our spiritual food. It kind of re-energizes us. And then we take it back out into the week ahead. And then when we take it back out there, because we're filled with this Word, okay, we're then able to have an impact on the community around us, the world around us. And so that's really, and I think, I don't know about you guys, but there's been times when I've missed church for whatever reason. And I have found when I've not come to church, okay, it definitely tends to have an impact on my week. I don't feel as wholesome. I don't have that peace. I find myself doing a lot of wrestling. And so I think it is really important for us to continue to meet together, coming together with the right attitude, with reverence for God, getting involved in the worship, allowing all of that stuff. If you think about your week, okay, there's so much, it's busy, it's chaotic. David Sashanya's favorite words were, there's just too much noise. So it's very difficult to actually listen to God's word, actively listen to God's word during the week. So when you come to church, it's like, this is the place where hope, this is where stuff really should be happening. We should be able to you know, we can be sort of like de-stressed. We can have this, you know, a lot of the stuff which we brought up throughout the week taken from our shoulders, and we can refresh ourselves. We can have our spiritual food through the Word of God. So I really just want to continue to recommend people to get involved and continue to come to church. And when we see people not coming to church, I think it's worthwhile just saying, look, what's happening? Find out what's going on. Because you'll see from my next point why I think this happens. So church is great. It is great. And it is what you make it. If we come with the right attitude, you know, it's going to make a difference. I really do believe this in my heart of hearts. My next point is, the Word of God is constantly under attack. You have to realize this. We all have to realize this. The Word of God is constantly under attack. Okay, we have an enemy, and he's on a mission. And his mission is to stop people from growing in the Word of God, to corrupt the Word of God within people. This is what his strategy is. You know, and he does exist. From Genesis to Job to Revelation to Peter, there's reference to this enemy. And then obviously Jesus himself for 40 days in the wilderness, fending him off. There's reference with the Word, by the way. Yeah. So there's reference to this enemy. We have an enemy. And he doesn't want people to get the Word of God. He'll do everything he can. He knows that's where he'll win the battle. And so the passage which, for me, best illustrates this is Matthew 13, 18 to 23, and I'll read it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And I would ask you all to read that passage again in your own time, because there's you know, it's a serious passage. The main focus of attention in that passage is what? The word. The word of God. That's the main focus of attention in this passage. And if I could summarize the first three seeds which didn't take root and didn't produce crop, it would be due to a lack of understanding, a lack of conviction, or preoccupied with the flesh. These were the first three seeds really for me. So the seed sown along the path, what I've learned is it takes a real effort, it takes patience, it takes endurance, it takes humility to really understand the word of God. It doesn't just come like that. Do you understand? It does take effort, it takes humility, it takes work. We have to work to understand of God. And it does take commitment. And I've heard non-believers say to me before, which always makes me laugh, yeah, I've read the Bible from front to back. And yet they've concluded that Jesus isn't real. The Bible isn't the word of God. They've really read the Bible from front to back? Really? I really have to question that. And if they have read the Bible from front to back, have they been accurately receiving the message and interpreting it? Because if they had, surely they would be Christians. Surely they would be Christians. That's my conclusion. So to understand, for me, to understand the word of God, yeah, we have to be committed to it. Commitment is a key part of it. So this is the process of coming to church and being part of fellowship and being involved in service and, you know, reading your Bible on a daily basis and praying about it and stuff. That's all commitment. So to understand the word of God, it requires commitment. For me, it's about, you know, reading the word, meditating on it, grappling with it, discussing it, reading commentaries on it, you know, seeking God's counsel for understanding. It takes determination and effort. It doesn't come easy. Last week I was teaching the youth. This week I'm preaching. Next week I'm leading the all-age service. The week after that I'm doing the youth again. Let me tell you something. This is not, I'm not moaning. I'm quite happy. I'm being blessed through it. But what it does require is it requires time, effort, and commitment. It means at night time I have to be on my computer praying to God. How do I understand this passage? It takes effort and determination. It's not just going to happen like that. Okay? So that's the first point. And that's why I think that first seed failed. The second seed, the seed falling on rocky ground. For me, this brings to mind those people who are always looking for the thrill. Always looking for the thrill. Okay? And so what happens is, they're looking for the thrill, happy, dancing, joyful, everything else, okay? But the minute they hit hard times, the minute they go through a tough period, okay, what tends to happen is they look elsewhere for that thrill. And that's what I believe. And I also think, when I was preparing this, what God laid on my heart is the church, not as in our church, but the body of Christ needs to be careful. Because I think that we can set people up for failure. You know, it's very easy for us to present this life enhancement type of gospel. Prosperity preaching. Okay, now I don't have anything wrong against people being prosperous, because I think people can be prosperous. That's absolutely fine. But I don't think that's the central message of the Bible, especially in terms of earthly prosperity. We're prosperous because of Christ and what he's done for us, and it's an eternal prosperity. And so I think we need to be very careful not to present this message of health, wealth, and happiness to people. Because actually, I think we're setting them up for failure. Because when they don't experience that, it's very easy for them to then fade away. Think, oh, what's this all about? This isn't what I was expecting. Okay? Because more often than not, what I found is, you know, the closer you get to God, the more you receive the word, the more you revere God, okay, the more the heat gets turned up. The more persecution we start to experience. And it comes through many different sizes, shapes, and, you know, it does. All right? And that's what I found. So I think, yeah, I do honestly think that's a key part of this message, really, is that we just, you know, we do need to be careful as a church in terms of the message which we present to the wider world. And the flip side of that is when we're going through all of this, Kevin mentioned it earlier as well, is we have somebody who's within us, who's on our side, he's working with us, he's helping us through those trials, those difficulties. Okay, and so that's something else to bear in mind. And then we've got the seed falling among the thorns. This seed, which is preoccupied with the here and now. Now, this is very easy for us to all get so caught up with today that we forget about tomorrow. We forget about eternity. We forget about God's kingdom. It's very easy to get consumed with the things which are with the here and now. And for me, this seed had their priorities all wrong. Not seeking God first, which is what the Bible tells us to do, but consumed by the things of this world. And so what happens is God gets crowded out. God gets crowded out. And this tends to be because of one or two reasons, gratifying the flesh or just overly consumed by the here and now. And I think for me, all three of those seeds, really, we could put it down to ineffective listening, lack of respect. I think they've definitely played a part in all of this, or lack of commitment to the word. And I think they're the three. They are three reasons as to why these seeds were not prosperous and didn't produce strong roots. And I'll say it again: the enemy, his ultimate plan is to stop people from getting the word of God. It's his number one strategy. This is where he's focusing, and he is on a mission. He's on a mission, and he's turning up the heat. And there are, you know, for me, the safest place for us to be is in the Word, in Jesus, in the written Word, and making sure that the Holy Spirit is involved in that process and just bowing down to God. And then we have the seed which fell on good soil. There are some great examples of this seed. I think many of them are sitting in this church. They really are. Okay. But when it comes, I think of Bible characters, and the one which always comes to mind to me is Paul, the Apostle Paul. You know, he was somebody who really did listen to the word of God. He was somebody who really revered God. He bowed down to him. He gave his all. He made this profound statement: to live is Christ, to die is gain. Jesus was at the center of his very being. How many of us can really say that hand of heart? To live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, that's commitment. That's somebody who's dedicated. That's somebody who, for me, has adopted the right attitude. So we must listen to the word of God. We must seek understanding and be obedient to it. And it's bound to produce fruits. My final point is listening to God's word in worship transforms us. Listening to God's word in worship transforms us. Now, I'm sure there's some of you, I know I'm one person, which could you ever imagine yourself coming to church every week, singing, getting involved in service? Could you really? I'm looking at some of the faces here. I'm seeing the nods. No, definitely not. Yeah, could you? I know I could never have imagined this. Never. Standing now, even trying to teach it. It just definitely was beyond my comprehension. But let me tell you, the reason why that's happened is because we have been listening to the word in worship. We have been accurately receiving the message and interpreting it. This is what I believe. This is why we are so committed. This is why we continue to gather, come together, and get involved in service. So I'm sure, like me, if I think back for the first 27 or 26 years of my life, okay, and I look at where I am now at the age of 45, you know, I know this transformation. I'm sure many of you, I'm sure if you were to consider who you were before Christ, whether you grew up in the church or not, because if you grew up in the church, there would have been a point when you decided to make a personal commitment to Christ. And if you haven't grown up in the church, you know what your life was before anyway. So if you look, I'm sure if you look at who you are today, you will see significant change. You will see that you have been transformed by the Word of God. And the example which comes, two examples which come to me, was Mary and Miriam. They gave their testimonies. And for me, if you were to look at Mary and Miriam, okay, you would never have guessed, excuse me, I'm sweating a bit, you would never have guessed that they had lived the life which they had lived, or been through the things which they had been through. You would never have guessed it, because they're so given. They're kind, they make effort, they're committed. I really, hand and heart, I'm confident that they really are listening to the word of worship, in worship. I believe that their attitude was right in terms of their approach to God. And in that process, we see this remarkable transformation. It's actually, for me, it was remarkable, some of the stuff which they went through to be the people who they are today. And so that's really what I believe that listening to God's word in worship does. And then two other characters, Peter and Paul. You know, Peter was very arrogant. Paul was self-righteous. And then we see that these are the two apostles of the New Testament. So we see that when you really are listening to God's word in worship, we see this great, marvelous transformation taking place. So if you see change taking place in you, I believe that this is the evidence of you listening to God's word in worship. And it needs to continue. We mustn't give up. We mustn't think we've arrived. You know, it needs to continue. We need to continue to meet. We need to continue to read the Bible. We need to continue to respect God. We need to continue to do these things. So we need to respect God. Listen to Jesus. We need to revere God by listening to Jesus. We need to accurately receive the messages and interpret it. Okay? And we must continue to meet. We need to come to church with the right attitude, because this is the place where we can be re-energized and go out into the world and make a difference. And I don't know if any of you are struggling in any of those areas, and then I believe there's going to be a time of prayer and ministry. Amen?